Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for joining us. Well, much of South Florida was built on top of a sponge, kind of a sponge, a 4,000-mile-long rock formation with tiny holes allowing rainwater, spring water, water from rivers flowing into it, storing the clean groundwater that millions of us use every day. This is the Biscayne Aquifer, and it's the main source of clean, fresh water for Miami-Dade, Broward, and Monroe counties. But the threat of climate change has affected the sponge that quenches South Florida's thirst. The Biscayne Aquifer is being contaminated by salt water from the rising sea, and it's at risk from pollution as well. Now, without it, life would be dramatically different here in South Florida. Protecting the aquifer will cost billions of dollars, and the question facing South Florida is, how much are you willing to pay for clean and reliable water? Well, joining us from Washington, D.C. is Christopher Flavelle. He recently reported on the threats to Miami's drinking water. He covers climate change and adaptation policy for Bloomberg News. Christopher, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
So let's understand, what are the risks and threats to the county's drinking water, and how are these risks connected to climate change?
Sure. So the thing that struck me reporting this is it's a series of different risks that, if you look at them individually, seem like they're not connected. But when you pull back, they all tie back to climate change. I think the risk people are most familiar with is, as you mentioned, saltwater intrusion, this notion that as seas rise, you'll get more salty water being pushed into the aquifer. And over time, though no one knows over how much time, that'll start making it hard, if not impossible, to draw from the various well fields that are in the county. What I found in my reporting, though, is that's not the only risk, and it might not even be the worst risk. There's also this question of septic tanks. There are some 90,000 septic tanks throughout Miami-Dade County and others in the rest of the region. And those septic tanks depend on a very, very delicate balance. As the groundwater level rises, with sea level rise, those tanks don't work as well. They don't manage to filter and clean the human waste that goes into them. And as a result, you get more bacteria, medication, other stuff you don't really want in your drinking water going into the aquifer. Third one is toxic contaminants getting pushed out of Superfund sites, other industrial sites, by more intense rain events and flooding. Those then get washed into, as you said, the sponge. I love that term. And then the fourth that people raise for me is this rock mining activity in sort of the northern part of the county where the Everglades start. People say that the concern with that rock mining is it creates sort of a super highway from the surface into the heart of the aquifer. So whether it's contaminants from the mining or washed in from elsewhere in the county, it goes into the aquifer, making it harder to treat. So it's those four things that, again, at first glance, all seem very different. But if you step back, you get a pretty serious threat that is, because it's so diverse, hard to deal with and hard to protect against.
And you talk about serious threat. Yeah, we wanted to get a sense of, you know, from people you've talked to, how big a threat, how much at risk is our water?
So what makes those threats tricky is it's hard to know for sure. The way saltwater intrusion was described to me was a very serious threat, but perhaps the most slow-moving threat. It will probably take decades for that to progress to a point where the aquifer is in serious danger. Let me caveat that by saying no one is sure. You know, the tricky thing about climate change is the best estimates remain pretty significantly uncertain. But it looks like that one is the most slow moving. Septic tanks, people I talk to say this is happening right now. If you have a big rainfall or you're during the wet season, these septic tanks already don't have enough clearance above the top of the groundwater level to really do their job properly. And then the sort of the unknown, I think perhaps the scariest notion is that some really serious storm event or rain event happens and you get one of these. I think there are 14 Superfund sites in Miami-Dade County alone, and perhaps the level of protection that keeps the toxins around and under those sites from leaching into the groundwater, those protections just fail. And you don't know when that might happen.
Yeah. All right. So let's tackle a couple of these. So let's talk about that, the Superfund sites. As you pointed out in your story, that you've got Superfund sites. One of them is near the Biscayne Aquifer. But let's start with this just to remind people, what is a Superfund site?
Sure. So the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, has a national priorities list that is effectively a list of the most serious and concerning industrial sites around the country where there are contaminants that are hazardous to human health. They have a variety of sort of standard measures that they go through to try and make sure they remove what they can and contain what they can't remove. And as has been pointed out to me, the problem is those rules are decades old, and they were devised before climate change gave us this sort of uncertain increase in the amount of precipitation. EPA has said themselves this is a big problem. In 2014, they said, we are worried that climate change could put at risk some of the contaminants in these Superfund sites. It doesn't sound like they've done much since then to address that threat.
I mean, you pointed out in your story that there's a Superfund site next door, right next door to the Hialeah water treatment plant. Why are these things that close together?
So part of the problem in Miami is you've got a fairly small piece of land between the ocean and the Everglades. And any big city is going to have industrial sites, and they're going to have water wells, and sometimes bad luck puts them close together. In defense of Miami-Dade, they're definitely aware of this issue, and they've got sort of a unique set of tools at that particular facility to strip out toxic contaminants. I think the concern is twofold. Number one, that the amount of toxins going into the aquifer could increase with climate change. Number two, you could get some odd, unexpected movement of those toxins around the county, pushing them into the areas served by other well fields that don't have that same level of protection.
All right. The other thing, too, you kept mentioning was septic tanks. You reported on, you know, the environmental concerns of those. Do we know how much does Miami-Dade County rely on septic tanks?
Yeah, so again, the number that I got from county officials was 90,000 countywide. No, to be clear, no one said that the septic tanks were not a concern. There was a universal acceptance septic tanks were a big problem. What no one knows is what to do about them. The figure I got for removing them or connecting all those homes to the main sewer system is $2 to $3 billion
to put everybody on the sewage system.
Right, you could do that. I guess it'd be expensive. But the second question right away is it a good idea? Because a lot of those communities are by the coast, and in 20, 30, or 40 years, they could well be underwater and be abandoned. So, do you want to spend that money on neighborhoods that won't exist anymore?
But is that one of the septic tanks? Is that one of those really dangerous risks, or one of those that we could just? I mean, and I don't want to say all of these are risk to our water, but because of money, as you just pointed out, we might have to prioritize. Is that one of those that has to be up at the front of the list, or can we just push that one back?
I'm the last person to weigh in and say, here's how I rank the risks. I think one of the problems is you don't really have a good sense of how to scale these risks and how to rank them. I get the sense that people are familiar with the septic tank issue. They don't seem especially concerned. I would defer to others who know the situation better to say whether they should be more concerned than they are. But again, $2 to $3 billion for a county already facing upwards of $12 billion in pending capital investment needs is a huge amount of money. And I think they're saying, as you said, is it the right thing to spend those limited resources on?
I'm speaking with Christopher Flavelle. He covers economic and political consequences of climate change for Bloomberg News, and he's been talking about the threats to Miami-Dade County's drinking water in his recent report. Who did you talk to for the report? Who were some of the people that you scoped out?
I spent the most time with Douglas Yoder, who's the deputy director at the county's water and sewer department, who seems very knowledgeable and is certainly up to speed on these things. A gentleman named Wilbur Mayorga, who works for DERM, Environmental Resources Management, also spent some time with me. Everybody I interacted with at the county level seemed completely alert to these risks. But my sense was that the solutions will not come from those frontline staff. They'll come from county officials who are elected and have to decide whether to raise rates and how much, and also from the state and federal governments that, by all accounts, are not especially keen to address this, because it's climate change and other reasons.
Let's look at the county level. You just said it, though. It's raising rates, how much we spend for water. Do you get the sense that people are ready to spend more money for their water in order to protect it?
You know, I hesitate to make a prediction because, look, the skeptic in me thinks, yeah, raising rates is always hard. But I think what makes this case so interesting is there isn't really a precedent here. I don't think we've had a major city in the U.S. facing these kinds of problems. So you could equally be optimistic and say when people realize that something so inherently vital and necessary to their city is at risk, yeah, I think you could make the argument that they're likely to step up and say we have to raise rates, we know it's unpopular, but we have no choice. But it's anyone's guess which way that goes.
And I mean, you talk about the state level, on the state level, the federal level, you know, how much help would the county get? How much of it is going to lean on people in the county compared to expecting Tallahassee or D.C. to lend a hand?
My sense from my reporting for this story, and really every story I tackle on these issues, is that ultimately how much a city or a county can do to protect its residents is going to fall on the city or the county. There's certainly some hope that the federal government and the state government will step in. They probably need to at some point just because of the scale of the problem. But I don't think it makes sense for any local officials to rely on that kind of assistance. Again, politically, there isn't much support federally or at the state level to talk about climate change, to invest in climate solutions. But also because the people who win or lose are the people who live in Miami and Miami-Dade County. So they're probably the ones, rightly or wrongly, who are going to have to decide how much is it worth to us.
And really, I got to the point reading your story that it's just going to take a lot of money, a lot of money.
Yeah, and I don't want to imply that this is doom and gloom. There's, like I said, there's no reason to think that the money won't be found, right? Miami's a fantastic place. I get to go there all the time for my beat. I love visiting. It's a unique and wonderful place. I sure hope they find a way to fix it, and I don't want to give the impression that they can't or won't. But I think the first thing is realizing the magnitude of these problems. As I noted in the piece and you noted at the top, the risk of flooding, I think, is the first way people in Miami think about climate change. The point I wanted to make here was climate change is hard because it's never just one thing. It comes at you from different directions, and you get to respond to different things at the same time, and that means more money. And certainly, you know, the part of me that loves Miami hopes that they find a way to figure this out, but it's going to cost a lot.
All right. I'm going to put a little pressure on you here in just 30 seconds. You know, I've heard this from listeners. I'm just a regular person. What exactly is it that I can do? What do you say to that person?
You know, the rest of the country is going to be watching Miami to see how it deals with these problems. It sure would be nice to think that Miami will figure this out. And if they do, it'll be because ultimately voters say to their officials, I don't care what it takes. Find the money, raise my rates, make this work, because I don't want to lose my neighborhood or my city. I think that sent a pretty powerful message to the rest of the country. Who knows if it's going to go that way?
Christopher Favelle, he writes and reports for Bloomberg News, and he recently reported on the threats to Miami's drinking water. We'll have a link to that story on our Facebook, WLRN Sundial. He joined us from the studios of NPR in Washington, D.C. Christopher, thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
All right, still to come, we're going to tell you about a culinary and history tour taking place in Overtown. That's coming up next on Sundial here on WLRN.